Good morning, Jamaica. Tell Me About It continues. I'm Christopher Lydon, your guest host until 2 a.m. Let's pick up the conversation we were having last night and take it from earth to heaven, from body to spirit, from the prison institutions that the Corrections Commissioner John Prescott was defending last night, to the vision behind his emphasis on rehabilitation of prison inmates. He calls them his clients. I came to Jamaica 10 days ago to study prisons. We stayed to see many other Jamaicas and to open a conversation with you on RJR this week and next week, every morning from midnight until 2. Our general theme tonight is prison rehabilitation to begin with, but more generally, the whole idea of transformation, recovery, change in human affairs. Who understands it well enough to know when it's genuine, when it's right? Who understands the turnaround process well enough to direct it? We want very much to hear from callers who have had it in their family experience, especially the prison question, whose lives have turned around in one fashion or another through hard work, through education, through the grace of God. Who knows exactly how? Our guests are the charismatic writer, teacher, and visionary Desmond Green, who's the founder and leading spirit of the Reverence for Life movement, which has been active in the prisons for most of the last 8 or 10 years. And also in our studio, Aileen Stevens, who's the director of rehabilitation in the prisons of Jamaica. Please join the conversation. The phones are 926-2178 or 926-8631. Or 926-7615, or the toll-free number 888-991-2080. Aileen Stevens, I wish you'd start and be as concrete as you can about how the process of rehabilitation is designed to work in the Department of Corrections. What is the process? What is the test of rehabilitation? How do you harvest the fruit of your rehabilitation program?
Hi, good morning, Jamaica. I'm Aileen Stevens. First, I would like to just share with you that the Department of Correctional Services has the responsibility to receive however many persons are placed into its care. These persons are our clients, and we refer to those in our adult correctional institutions as our inmates. Those in the juvenile correctional centers, we refer to those as our wards. And, of course, we have our very many community-based clientele. How does the process work? The department recognizes that we must now move in the direction of practicing modern correctional management. A rehabilitation and management process which dictates equipping offenders or juveniles and or adults with the social, vocational, and cognitive skills that are in fact necessary to prevent the continuance.
What does that mean?
Making sure that all programs will be geared towards their treatment and therefore lower recidivism.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The strategies will impact, of course, on the prevention of crime, the reduction of recidivism, and it holds a strong implication for ensuring that we have a very disciplined and highly moral society. Many of our programs also focus on production, recognizing, of course, Lyndon, that we need to address that publicly. Production is very, very important, especially when one looks at our economic situation on a societal basis.
You know, we were at Tower Street 10 days ago.
Yes.
And we heard two different kinds of stories. I mean, there's one about men who, well, maybe three kinds of stories. There are men in those prisons and at South Camp who have killed in passion, maybe family stories, but they're clearly not career business.
Yes.
And chances are overwhelming that they'll never do it again. There are also men whose lives have turned around with very practical education in tailoring or in computing, who are ready to earn an honest livelihood as they hadn't been before. And then there are also, as a different category, men whose lives just change for rather mysterious reasons. But they find themselves. They find... this man spoke to us, and I hope we can play some of their stories. They find an understanding of themselves as creatures of a loving God. They see the image of God in themselves. Something happens in their consciousness. How many of these things can a correction department hope to manage, hope to control, hope to sort of induce a prisoner into?
Actually, our goal is to speak specifically to every single client who is in our care. And because of that, our rehab programs must be carefully designed to meet the specific characteristics and problems of each offender. And we ensure that the rehab programs implemented in such a manner that it will allow for the participation of all our clients. That way, we'll be able to reach
Surely some are harder than others, and some may be impossible.
Definitely.
I wish you'd give us a case history of a kind of maybe a hypothetical or a composite story of a man's life changing in confinement.
Okay. We have had persons who have entered our institutions without any skill. During their incarceration, they have learned a skill. They are now out on work programs. They can be now productive. They're now earning. And their whole attitude to work and so on is so much better. And this is a common situation that we experience in the department.
How much of the rehabilitation takes place inside the walls? How much takes place outside the walls? Does rehabilitation in your effort work extend to the community?
Not enough as we would really like because of certain limitations which presently we are unable to address. We are hoping that in the very near future we will be able to certainly have 100% of our clients participating in a very meaningful way in our rehabilitation programs within the institutions.
You hope?
Yes. That's what we're moving towards.
Let me another point here. The United States loves to think of itself as the leading edge of almost everything. Prison rehabilitation is no longer kind of one of the things we do or brag about or boast about. Where does an ambitious corrections department like yours look for leadership and models in what you're doing? You said you're trying to keep up with the best in correctional science, so to speak.
Certainly.
Where is it?
Right here in Jamaica.
Really?
Right now, we regard ourselves as a pioneer because of our success rate and the strategic way with which we carry through our rehabilitation process.
Really? Who's with you in the vanguard? Or are you out there alone?
No, we're not alone. Rehabilitation is everybody's business. But of course, with a leadership like the one we have, Lieutenant Colonel John Prescott, certainly there's no turning back as far as rehabilitation is concerned.
Desmond Green, I'd like you to join in the conversation. How much of the thinking, even in the correction system here in Jamaica, comes out of your own Reverence for Life movement? What did they learn from you, and what are you learning from them?
Well, good morning again, Chris and Aileen, and
hi.
Good morning, Jamaica.
Welcome, Desmond.
It's a wonderful opportunity to share with you. Chris, your question is really, you have a vehicle. What is it that you're going to use to make it work? And Reverence for Life as a fuel to move the rehabilitation process has certainly served us very well. And reverence really is an openness to the dynamic of the present, a willingness to listen, willingness to see, and willingness to act on information that's flowing from the present, so that you don't predispose yourself to judging and condemning without hearing what's going on. You know, you just don't call a man a complete criminal and brand him a complete criminal for life without hearing his story in the present.
But you don't let what could be a dangerous man walk back onto the street carelessly either. What's the test of rehabilitation?
I think it's personally your own observation, and it's a relational thing. It's a relationship. You develop relationships with people, and those relationships tell you, I'll give you an indication of what's going to come up next. So once you have entered a relationship with those around you, you get a good indication of where they're coming from, where they are, and where they're going to go. And that is really the proof of it. You're not saying the person isn't going to do this, that, or the other. You're just going to say, based on our relationship and the strengthening of it, you don't see them doing this or that or the other.
And surely there are disappointments, though, and terrible surprises. I taught in a prison program in Massachusetts, sponsored by Boston University, and the doctrine was, it was firmly held, almost like a religious creed, that no man who ever got a Boston University degree in Norfolk Prison ever went back to a criminal life. Mm-hmm. In the era of so many, many drug temptations and drug offenses and drug addictions, however, that's no longer the truth. Men do go back to drugs, and oftentimes they go back to crime as a way of supporting drugs. Surely you have tales of I'm sure, bitter disappointment that you've experienced in this work, both of you.
Not me personally,
really?
Because I'm not expecting anything of anyone. I don't put myself in that position. Expectation is the mother of frustration. But on the other hand, you can create and build relationships and trust that those relationships are going to lead in the direction that you would love them to.
Aileen Stevens, I'm sure you have a different professional standard here.
Yes, certainly. We have had a few disappointments wherein persons reoffend, and therefore they are returned to our care. But those persons are few, actually. We are presently boasting a recidivism rate right now of 33%. It's a decrease from 66% 5 years ago to its present rate of 33%. An indication, certainly, that rehabilitation is working, because one way of proving that certainly is looking at our reoffending rate. Also, as far as the rehabilitation programs that are carried out outside of the institution's concern, we have had over 500 persons over about 4 or 5 years going out on work release programs, and we have only had 3 persons walking off these particular projects.
It's a remarkable record.
Yes, it is.
I want to hear from callers, and I want to hear from families with experience. The phone numbers are 926-2178 or 926-8631 or 926-7615 or the toll-free 888-991-2080. Good morning. Thank you for joining us on Tell Me About It.
Yeah, good morning. Morning.
Yes, and welcome.
Good morning.
Yeah, last night I was welcoming you to Jamaica. You weren't hearing me very well. Are you hearing me better now?
Much better tonight. Thank you.
Okay, well, I really wanted was to talk to Mr. Prescott. I don't know if the counselor can address this problem still. I don't know if it's a problem, but...
Give Desmond a shot.
Yeah, this rehabilitation program, is it preventing people coming back to jail, to prison?
Yes.
Well, as Mrs. Stevens just told you, 5 years ago, 66 out of every 100 who went out came back. Now, 5 years later, only 33. So wouldn't that indicate that something is going on?
Yeah, probably those who have passed through the system. But what I'm really referring to, one particular instance that I was saying to the sister last night, is that there was this man who two of them. One of them stabbed a woman 90 times with an ice pick in the process of a robbery and killed her.
Mm-hmm.
And another one shot another woman, and the two of them go to prison and claim that they found Jesus there and was on the radio
mm-hmm.
boasting about it. And I'm saying that they're doing that mm-hmm. is not telling people to stay away from prison. It will just, to people who inclined to do wrong, would just be saying, well, not as terrible as I thought, because all I can just go there and claim that I find Jesus and I'll be out again, come and boast about it.
If that's how you look at it, but that's not how they were presenting it. The fact that they were here saying, we have changed, we accept what we did, we ask forgiveness for it, or have found forgiveness, and are taking the opposite direction, new career. Because if I hear you right, the same person, David Chang, who had stabbed this lady 99 times, he's now, last count I heard, he was in Trinidad on an evangelistic tour, telling people not to go the direction he took.
God, they might come out the way he came out.
No, I mean, you have to be realistic. What he's saying is, for future offenders, don't do that, because it doesn't make sense.
My brother, he was not giving me that impression. I called in on the radio that day, you know, and I asked him, he's not telling people nothing that will deter them. He's not telling them about the conditions in the prison that make people don't want to go. I said, Dan, have you gone to the person's home that you have taken away their mother and their sister and even asked them forgiveness? He said no, and he's not planning on doing that either. Which I think, from a murderer who maliciously and intentionally murder someone, especially in that sense, he should be made to work and pay the school fees of the children, them that they are taking away their breadwinner, right through university.
Good idea. I support that approach too, very positively. But let me just say, on David's behalf, I have worked with David and I have seen the change in him. And what he's out there doing in terms of bearing his soul and saying, I have done the wrong thing, and all those who are out there going in my direction, please change. That's all I could ever ask of a man.
His immediate position that he's in is not a deterrent to nobody else who want to go. He should be there telling them about the conditions in the prison, as I am saying. Not to tell you that I have murdered somebody, boastingly the way he was saying it, and now I'm who I am because I've gone there and I've found Jesus, and I'm here now telling you that Jesus is there just waiting for you when you go there. If you want him, you'll find him and you'll be out back in a jiffy. That's what he was saying.
Eileen, it's your turn.
Hello, caller.
Yes,
hi, good morning.
Yes, sir.
Yes, in response to your question, which is actually turning out to be somewhat of a concern, while I share your concern and your views, I should also tell you that the programs that are carried out within the institutions are geared towards attitude change, different kind of thinking. Now, the persons who are allowed to go out and to integrate with the wider society are persons who would have gone through a particular kind of assessment, all right? And these are persons who we know have, in fact, been rehabilitated. And we also feel that these are persons who are now safe and considered persons who should be allowed to reintegrate. I don't know why you describe his expressions or testimony as a boast, but it's not a boast. It's his way of actually saying to Jamaica, saying to the persons who maybe he offended, that this is a new me, this is a new way I am now being, you know? And as a person, persons who indicate a change should be given a second opportunity. There should be.
Caller, do you want the last word? Well, let's leave it there. Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for joining us on Tell Me About It. Welcome. Hello. Are you with me? Let's try it again. Are you there? Hello? Good morning and welcome. I'm sorry. I'm not the master of the technology yet. Do we have a caller on that line? Sorry. Let's try this one. Are you there? We need a little rehabilitation on the, on the switchboard, or maybe the switchboard operator. Hello, are you there, caller? I'm sorry about that. We'll manage among ourselves. Eileen, it's still a little unclear to me and maybe to the caller what the test of readiness is for that new life. I was very impressed at the prison, and he repeated it last night. Colonel Prescott said that he wouldn't release people on work furloughs or on even on weekends that he wouldn't trust with his own family. But how does he reach that conviction? How do you reach it?
Belief, based on what you have actually experienced. And also a high level of confidence in the assessment process. We have what we describe as a client information management system, which speaks to the assessment, classification, and treatment programming of all persons. And this system, the risk needs analysis, is what clinically says to us, this is someone who we can consider favorably to participate in any given rehabilitation program.
Is everybody eligible, or does one work one's way into that favored circle?
Well, that again is achieved through the assessment process.
Okay. It's time for callers again. Good morning. Welcome to Tell Me About It. We're talking about rehabilitation. Thank you for joining us. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning and welcome.
Yes, I've been a previous caller. Are you hearing?
Yes.
Speak about you condemn one to work and mind your children. You wouldn't give your children the bread that the condemned man work.
I'm not sure of your point.
The condemned man that murdered somebody.
Yes.
And he get a reprieve from man and send him to work to mine our children. I don't want his bread to give my children.
Well, Desmond Green says that he worked with this man. Can you answer the question, Desmond?
I'd have to take that whole issue another level, up another level. You ask, what does God do to you and me when we offend? Does he continue to invest love in us? Does he continue to invest his energy in us? And does he continue to invest in us? My observation is that we have to move beyond the level of human thinking to answer these issues. I feel God does continue to invest in us. I think he forgives. And I think as his children, we have that privilege and opportunity to do what our Father does. So it's just very natural that if we are godly and we claim to be, we should do what God does, and he forgives. So why don't we forgive?
As in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that the doctrine we're working on here?
Absolutely.
It's time for another caller. Good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
And to you.
I'm straining a little. I just want to find out from the lady there. This a man by the name of Ivan Burrows was in custody. He was legally sent there, not on a charge, and he spent nearly 30 years there. I just want to know how long she is working there and her role during the period while Mr. Barrett was there. If they carried out daily inspections there.
Let me ask, Aileen Stevens, have you heard, do you know the Ivan Barrows case?
No, I don't know of that case.
What?
I do not know the details of that case.
You don't know about it at all?
I don't know the details of the case, and therefore I cannot speak intelligently.
Let me remind you about it.
Yes.
Because it came out in the Gleaner this very year. He apparently wounded someone, and he was sent there. He is a mental case. And he stayed there for 20 odd years without any charge. The attorney who, defended him finally was Mrs. Nancy Anderson.
Oh, I recall the case now.
Yes, but I'm asking you, what level of supervision is being given at the prison? That a man who is there just waiting to go to court
was almost forgotten.
Not was almost, he was totally forgotten.
Okay.
With a level of rank coming down from the top right down to the last to the last warder. What is happening there now to him? He's out now. Is he getting any benefit?
He has been released to the care of some family members, yes, and he's been assisted.
Without compensation?
I cannot speak to that.
Well, I think that his supervision there is very, very, very poor. I could never dream that could ever happen at a responsible institution where a man is in custody, where you have a muster there. You have to check your prisoners daily, and to see a prisoner is there detained illegally, and nobody for 20 odd years
I do not think it's really fair to say nobody remembered him or even cared, because the basic provisions were being provided, and that is why he was actually alive and doing physically well. His situation was one of a mental one, and the moment it was brought to the attention of the authorities, then the matter was brought back to the attention of the court, and he was taken back to court.
All right, I'm glad you brought it to our attention. It sounds like a case of a kind of mental commitment without a criminal charge. It's a good thing probably he is free in the custody of his family. We're going to take a short break. Our phone is 926-2178 or 926-8631 or 926-7615. But the toll-free number, 888-991-2080. Our guests are the Director of Rehabilitation in the Jamaican Prisons, Aileen Stevens, and the Founder and Director of the Reverence for Life Movement, Desmond Green. When we come back, I want to ask Desmond Green if his thinking about rehabilitation applies to nations and societies as well as people. Is it something that applies to Jamaica as well as to individuals? Is it something that applies to the grand old United States of America? I'm Christopher Lydon, your guest host until 2 in the morning. We'll be back.
The RJR 94 FM Roving Report. A daily look at traffic movement in the corporate area, as well as road conditions and tips for good motoring. All this, plus a slice of life in the rural communities with our reporters across the island. Brought to you by Life of Jamaica and ICWI, the insurance company of the West Indies. And now, the RJR 94 FM Roving Reports invite you to tell us what you see. Tell us about something positive happening in your community. Tell us about the bad road that has been there for years. Tell us about that interesting human interest story. Tell us about the roadblock. Tell us what you see. Simply dial 1-888-RING-RJR. That's 1-888-746-4757, toll free, and tell us what you see. The RJR 94 FM Roving Reports, brought to you courtesy of Life of Jamaica and ICWI, the insurance company of the West Indies. The Roving Reports, exclusively on RJR 94 FM, Real Jamaican Radio.
You tell me about the seed eating, about healthy eating, how it nice and thing.
Yes, but why me have to see you every evening? Push your big head in at the kitchen, say your mind run by the seed chicken. Sure, hey, Monday to Friday,
that's a curry chicken.
Saturday and Sunday,
that's a roast chicken. And your cookie good, you know me brethren.
That's because CB chicken are the artist thing. CB chicken is better tasting. So taste it is to love it. Oh, yes.
Do you suffer from a long-standing ailment? Is there a friend or family member with a medical condition? Do you have a medical question you need answered? Then tune into Clinical Expressions. Wednesday nights at 9 on RJR 94 FM. Join Dr. Earl Wright and his special guests as they discuss medical and health issues of concern to everyone and dispense sound advice. That's Clinical Expressions, Wednesdays at 9, part of your Outreach Hour on RJR 94 FM.
It's that time of year again, and 94 FM's Sunshine Suite has two special programs planned for the season. Listen throughout the day and hear how you can help to make Christmas unforgettable for some special people.
Oh, Christmas coming, coming.
We're living in a world of mounting pressures and daily uncertainties. But now, there is an oasis, a quiet place where you can go to find comfort and fellowship. This Wednesday, you're invited to share in the weekly midday reflections at the Webster Memorial United Church on Halfway Road from 12 noon to 1 o'clock. If you live or work in the corporate area or just happen to be passing by, any Wednesday, join us in this campaign in the spiritual life of the community, supported by the Halfway Tree Ministers Fellowship. It's non-denominational and quite informal. Take your lunch or snack and have it right there while you share in this ecumenical focus of music, poetry, readings of inspirational verses and skits. This and every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 o'clock at the Webster Memorial United Church. Reflections. Take a break from the hustle and bustle.
The big one, the 4-in-1 special, the quad-pack combo advertising package. Three radio stations with approximately 50% market share, and a TVJ also with approximately 50% market share. Advertisers, the quad-pack combo advertising package gives you reach and frequency at an affordable rate too. In other words, you're getting the... In other words, you're getting the... The quad-pack combo, RGR 94 FM, TVJ, Fame FM, Radio 2 FM. Advertising has never been so easy. Advertising has never been so affordable. Give us a call today at 926-1100 and ask for our dynamic marketing department. Over now.
I'm Christopher Lydon. Welcome back to Tell Me About It. I'm a talk show host in the States. It's my pleasure to be on this program this week and next between 12:30 and 2. We're talking this evening about rehabilitation in prisons, and more broadly, a regeneration of human spirits. Desmond Green is our guest. He's the founder and chief of the Reverence for Life movement, active in the prisons and out of it, too. You can give him a call and join the conversation at 926-2178 or 926-8631 or 926-7615 or toll-free 888-991-2080. Welcome back, Desmond. In a word, what made you believe in rehabilitation in the first place? What was the story of your own rehabilitation, so to speak?
Basically, Chris, rehabilitation is God's activity.
It's God's world. It's He who created it, and it's He who knows how it should work. And it's He who knows how to help those of us who want to make it work, work. So I'm not really dealing with just a human position. It's not Desmond's position. Reverence for Life, for instance, is not Desmond's idea. It's really the Creator's attitude to all of the creation. And if that wasn't in place, none of us would really be around. So basically, it's just becoming conscious that God's idea about all of us and His attitude to all of us is one of support and love and an investment of whatever it is that we need in order to move to the next level of behavior and development. So with that understanding that we aren't finished yet, that God hasn't completed us yet, then who am I to look at another human being and say he's finished in terms of his development? And with that, and with my training as a psychologist, my approach to God is that, God, you're good to us. You're good to me. You're equally good to everyone, just like you're good to me. So let me be a channel to pass on what you're saying about us to us. And I feel so very comfortable in the fact that when I look at Jamaica, my country, I see God in it, at the root of it, saying, Jamaica, listen to me, you're good. I'm in the middle of you. I'm working with you to help you to open your eyes and see who you are.
I want to come back to that whole matter of Reverence for Life speaking to nations, but I want to engage the callers, too. The phone is 926-2178. Or 926-7615 or 926-8631. Good morning. Welcome to Tell Me About It. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
And to you.
Good morning, sir.
Yes. I want to first make an observation and then ask a very brief question to your guests. I seem to have heard the questions a couple of times regarding how does one know that a particular inmate is ready to be reintegrated. And I seem to from time to time get the feeling that one might be left thinking that it's a gut feeling that someone gets and then said, well, this person is ready. I would rather want to think that it is more of a clinical process where there's a whole series of activities that the inmate would go through just as a patient would go through a series of activities, and then at a certain point in time the practitioner would be able to say, well, I have a certain feeling as to whether or not this person is ready to be released. Is that the approach that the corrections department takes, or am I off in a field somewhere by myself?
It's a fair question.
Very good question, caller, and very appropriate at this time, too. You see, my observation is that people's personalities rotate around the language they use, the images they entertain, the rituals you see them go through, which are observable, and the rewards they look for. And so between those four areas, the language, the images, the rituals, the behaviors they exhibit, you get an indication of where they'll continue to go. Mm-hmm. And so, based on that, for instance, a person who feels badly about himself will express that in their language, will express that in their behavior. When the rehabilitation process chips in, then, and they begin to think differently about themselves, because that's basically what we do, you know. We go in inviting the person to begin to see literally that they are a divine expression. There's nothing, one doesn't need to go around that fact. Everyone, that's a given. But many of us have either been programmed to overlook it or have been programmed to deny it. But once one is reminded that, yes, I am a divine creature, then that begins to filter into through my language, begins to filter through my image of myself, begins to filter through my behavior, begins to look filter through the rewards I create for myself. And it's just a matter of time. Once you begin to feel the benefits, because life is all about benefits, you begin to see that, yes, I want to be beneficial towards myself. And then if I'm beneficial towards myself in these ways, which I can control, then I'm going to benefit those around me. So we go into the business of helping people to take responsibility for how they manage themselves. Take responsibility for the language they use. Take responsibility for the images they project. And then after a while, once you know that they have bought into this new direction, then you can trust what you're seeing and observing and know that, yes, if they go in this direction, yes.
Does that sound clinical enough?
Yes, I rather like the response, but I think it's fair then to assume that for the wider public, including myself, that this is a clinical process which is being managed by professionals who are able to make those kinds of judgment and those kinds of determination, so that at least Jamaica can go to bed relaxed,
yes,
by and large, feeling that people are not just walking out when they feel like, or being sent out because somebody feels good about someone.
No.
But that in fact it is,
yes,
a process that provides indicators of growth and development and then success.
Absolutely.
Well, let's hope so.
Good luck.
You say it well. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you for joining us. Good morning and welcome. Sorry. Good morning and welcome to Tell Me About It.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, Reverend.
Yes, sir.
I am a person who likes to ask questions.
Yes.
Welcome to the club.
Okay. Rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
I question this thing. Yes, it may be necessary. I may be doing some good. But I am thinking that maybe the emphasis should be placed on preventing more than to rehabilitate. No, like the children, the unwanted children all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
A man living to a little shack.
Mm-hmm.
And he is free to have 12 or 20 children.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's no system to prevent it, because they said the law is of such that they can't do anything about things like those.
Mm-hmm.
We allow them to have, or the law allows then, to have more children than we can afford.
Would you like to restrict them, a la China?
I don't know. I don't like the comparison, you know. I like to think of tomorrow is another day, and it should be a better day. That is how I like to look at life. And some of the laws that we have laid down that we inherit, I wonder if we are human beings trying to make a better world, or to think of better for the tomorrow. If we can do some adjustment here and there, so that instead of we have this big crying out about rehabilitation and whatever, if we can prevent, if we to try and prevent, if it would be a better business.
Well, caller, I can support what you're observing, but basically I'm looking at what we have inherited in terms of the social consciousness, the social reality, and ask how do we clean it up? Because that's what rehabilitation is about. It's about restoration, taking what you have and turning it into what you want. It's on that basis that we go into the process and saying, we have a nation which thinks badly about itself, for instance. We have institutions which promote the idea that you're bad, you're born in sin and shaped in iniquity and stuff like that. We have institutions that teach us that we can shoot one another down like birds. Now, we have a culture, a whole culture of violence, built on the language we use towards one another, built on the images we have in front of us, and built on how we treat one another.
Listen, I'm glad you've waded into a big field that really fascinates me. It's shocking not only to read about 1,000 murders in a tiny country, an island country, in 1 year, but it's also it's even more depressing to see Jamaica really begin to stagger under this load and wonder, is it us? Are we doomed? Is it hopeless? I wish you'd apply everything you've been saying about individuals in terms of rehabilitation to the questions of societies that get caught up in a whole culture of violence. You say this is a nation that thinks it's bad.
It's been programmed to think
that. How do you know that? How do you observe it? And then what in the world would you do about it if it's true?
Well, firstly,
who programmed Jamaica to think it's bad?
Well, you look at the society that we have come out of. For instance, let's go back as far as we can to the whole business experience of slavery. You know, the whole experience of having been taken here, brought here, been put in the plantation, been treated like shackles, treated like property. That's an experience. It doesn't go away. It leaves its scars. We have to look into that and accept it and say, now, what do we do with this? We're not hiding from it. Now, the truth is...
What do people do with it? I mean, as it is, how does your analysis get from that experience, that troubled memory, to the crime figures in Jamaica today?
Well, we have to look at it from a societal perspective. For instance, we have to look at the fact that it's societies that create what we call criminals. And we have to look at the fact that we have to take responsibility for these creations. And then find out what are we doing to create these kind of individuals. And that is why I say now we begin to look at the elements which go into the creation of societies. The language, the images, the rituals, the press, the media, what do they feed our people on? And ask, is it media responsibility to pour out just grime and hopelessness and doom and things like that, and say that that is the truth? Now, my thing is, the truth should be determined by what we want, by how we see ourselves. And so the institutions that are in the business of showing reflections of what we are supposed to be should get the truth about ourselves. Now, the issue is, what is the truth about ourselves? The truth is that we are divine expressions. That's the only truth which is irreversible. And if we begin, like, say, for instance, the institutions that tell people that they're sinners and that they're stuff like that, those institutions should go back to the drawing board and say, well, when God created, it is said that God said what he created was good. So if I tell people that they are what God created, it would give them a head start to move into a direction of behaving the way they naturally are created to behave. Then the other...
This is deep. This is important about individuals and nations. But if you're saying that part of the curse in the crime figures in Jamaica today is the common experience of slavery, children of slave owners, children of slaves, some bearing both histories on them, What is the restored identity that will get people past that memory to a sense of flawed individuals as a divine expression?
And that's where we go back now, Chris, to that point where we say ignorance is really worse than malice. Ignorance of who we were. Ignorance on the part of those who turned us into slaves. Ignorance on the part of us who turned ourselves into slaves has brought about the experience of self-rejection. And we have to start there now and say, no, this ignorance has to be wiped out of our system. We have to accept. It's self-acceptance that is going to wipe out the feeling of self-rejection. And so we have to, by the leap of faith, accept that the Creator who has made us, who is supposed to be good, cannot produce a bad offspring. And so the self-acceptance leap has to be made. The acceptance of ourselves as literal expressions of God, of good, has to be made. And then to plow into this godness that makes the world what it is and how it works. And then begin to transform that into experience, into language, into images, and begin to create another sense of who we are and what we are.
This makes sense to me. More than the other doctrine I've been hearing on the radio, we won't say where, but elsewhere on the radio you can hear the doctrine that slavery had good effects too. This is a very different kind of re-examination, and I like it. Desmond Green is our guest on Tell Me About It. It's time for callers. Thank you for joining us. Welcome, and good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, I would just like to ask a question. I'd like to say something at the same time. Question is, this lady that is talking about rehabilitation, does she think about the family that is left without a breadwinner, or she does think about the criminal that is to be rehabilitated and come back out to society?
I think it's possible to think about both.
Yes, I think we have to think about both, because I tell this caller, when I was coming down a while ago, I had to pick up a different shirt to wear, because the shirt I had on and was going to wear, I put it down on the back of a chair near my window, and it wasn't there anymore when I woke up.
Okay. this is my input now. What I think about rehabilitation in a prison is that persons who have minor offenses, persons who are sent to prison innocently because of lack of evidence,
right,
those are the people that should be rehabilitated, because those are the people that is going back on the street as criminals, because the justice system sent them there innocently and they are going back as criminals on the street. Those are the people who should be rehabilitated. But the hardened criminals...
You mean the people who didn't get caught or sentenced?
Yes, some did not. Because lack of evidence, they go to prison. And they cannot even vote for themselves in court.
Yeah.
So it is that the court decided to send them to prison because there's no evidence to substantiate that the person wasn't there.
Well, caller, I think everybody who doesn't have a correct and beneficial view of themselves should be rehabilitated to that view. You and I deserve to have a good view of who we are, and therefore of who those around us are.
Yes, but what I'm saying, sending a criminal back on the road, a hardened criminal, is not a self-defense. Is a hardened criminal back on the road.
But here's what we're saying, though.
What I'm saying is this. Mm-hmm. What you send back that person on the road, that person is not going to do anything to go back to prison. But he has his cronies out there will do things for him. That's what you have to look into.
Well, even that's when we talk about rehabilitation, caller, we're talking about every single human being becoming conscious that as a son of God, literally, this is not a figurative thing now, if all of us are here manifested in the forms that we have, it means we are coming from the original source which we call God. And every one of us need to be reminded if we have lost sight of this reality. Every one of us need to be rehabilitated so that we are restored to the fullness of consciousness of who we are, so that we can behave in the fullness of our capabilities and literally as gods.
Yes, but what I'm...
So, caller, listen to me carefully.
I understand.
I need to be rehabilitated to the point of saying that when I see you, I'm looking at God, and I should treat you like the way God is treating me. And that's the only, you know, I'm saying there is no provision in a civil society for ignorance of any kind.
Well, that is true. But what I'm saying, what kind of confidence you give the persons that living, that send that person to prison, what kind of confidence you give that that family that this person is not going to do something again?
You can't,
because no, listen, the reason why I'm saying that, Jamaica is gifted for one of the best in the entire world.
Yeah,
anything
true.
They're doing, they're the best.
Absolutely.
And they will make up stories just to get the opportunity to come back out on the street. They show that they are rehabilitated, they can come back on the street and they can live a normal life. Mm-hmm. But that is just an impression they're giving you, and there's no way you can prove to me otherwise.
Well, caller, everyone is making that same impression on God. Literally, you and I are enjoying that same benefit from God. We can take His energies and we can turn it into experiences.
Yes.
which are negative.
A short break on that high note. Thank you. We'll be back. The phones are 926-2178 or 926-8631. Or 926-7615, or toll free 888-991-2080. This is Tell Me About It with our guest Desmond Green. I'm Christopher Lydon. We'll be right back.
The legacy of great storytelling continues on Real Jamaican Radio, weekday mornings at 10:15 on 94 FM. Hear the dramatic adaptation of The Tilsit Inheritance as it unfolds on RJR Monday to Friday mornings at 10:15.
I have no connection with the Tilsit family. They
no connection? My dear, you're a direct descendant. The only one left, apart from John. Hasn't he told you anything?
No.
How very typical of him.
How is it you know, Father? Where did you meet him?
Why not ask him?
I did.
And?
He claims he doesn't remember anyone named Lillian Marshall.
Then we'd better leave it at that, hadn't we?
But I...
You'll find out someday, Ginny. Just don't be too impatient.
The Tilsit Inheritance. Brought to you Wednesdays by Children's Panadol for fast relief of your child's fever and pain. And on Thursdays and Fridays by Panadol. Strong on pain. Gentle on you.
The Tilsit Inheritance. The saga of a woman divided between the love of dear ones alive and the haunting demands of the dead.
The big one, the 4-in-1 special, the quad pack combo advertising package. Three radio stations with approximately 50% market share, and a TVJ also with approximately 50% market share. Advertisers, the quad pack combo advertising package gives you reach and frequency at an affordable rate too. In other words, you're getting the quad pack combo. RGR 94 FM, TVJ, Fame FM, Radio 2 FM. Advertising has never been so easy. Advertising has never been so affordable. Give us a call today at 926-1100 and ask for our dynamic marketing department. Over now.
The Ultimate Factor with Judith Bartley.
What would I be without you?
It never gets better than The Ultimate Factor. Giveaways every day. 5 minutes at the Palace so you can win your movie passes. Red Label Wine gets the tunes. The Factor Local Top 50 singles. The right vibe. Links on the net. Music like nowhere else. And now for the holiday season, it's the ultimate Xmas Glitz Gifts Blitz, where you play to win airline trips courtesy of Air Jamaica, DVD players from Viewer's Choice 2000 in Ligony, Hedonism and Breezes Runaway Bay Weekends, the Captain's Christmas Cakes, Centennial Cellular Telephones, Reggae Max Cakes, CDs, Big Beautiful Bottles of Alizé, Cadbury Chocolates, gifts from Red Stripe, Azan, Starfishaw's Mudslide, Movie Passes, and other fabulous festive feastings nightly or in the live grand draw on December 20. This week on The Ultimate Factor, factor in women's self-esteem. To the hard way, Charlie Chaplin and Brigadier Jerry, rules of dating, and our surprise artist. Check out The Ultimate Factor, Mondays to Thursdays, 7:30 to 9 p.m. You're going to love the experience. Ultimately so.
Radio RJR. I'm Christopher Lydon, your guest host on Tell Me About It. Desmond Green is our guest. We're talking about rehabilitation. Rehabilitation of nations. Desmond Green leads us to believe that even Jamaica, which Jamaicans tend to think is number one in everything, Jamaica itself could be a kind of candidate for rehabilitation of its identity. Give us a call, please. Join the conversation. And welcome to Tell Me About It. Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Yes, good morning. Yes, this rehabilitation in the prisons. At present, it would be a nice thing, too, that we could rehabilitate all convicted inmates. To make them a better person, send them back out into society. With a much safer in Jamaica today. But the present situation as it is in the prison is not conducive, say, to proper rehabilitation. At present you have 800 correctional officers on interdiction that was sent off on interdiction by the said people who are now saying that they are rehabilitators. How can they, same one, now be saying that they are rehabilitators when they themselves are taking such hard line against the warders who help in the process of rehabilitation?
Can I ask you, caller, were you a warder yourself?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You know, a number of warders spoke to Colonel Prescott last night. I don't want to cut you short, but I don't want to beat that horse to death again either. What do you think? I mean,
it is a major problem right now. So this rehabilitation effort that is being talked about and tried to put up on a high is only some talk. Right now, the Richmond Farm Prison is a woodland. 200 plus inmates are there locked away in the DS doing nothing.
Officer,
that's a fact.
Give them.
Farming should be one of the vehicles in which we should use.
Officer,
to help inmates rehabilitate.
Officer,
you give Desmond Green a chance. It's clear that from tonight and last night that there's tremendous anger among the former warders. Still, 8 years later.
Let me respond to what we're saying.
The whole idea of prison, both in the way it's run in Jamaica and in the world, is a bad idea. It's bad for warders, it's bad for nations, and it is bad for whoever come into our care. So let's just put that on the table. That prison, the way it has been developed in Jamaica, is a bad idea. It abuses human beings, whether they're warders or teammates, as we call them. And so that's why we need a new idea altogether to begin to work with, an idea that will give you job satisfaction when you go on the job. We need an idea that will give the nation assurance that it is spending money and is getting what it deserved for the money spent when people are sent into institutions called correctional institutions. Sorry. So I just want to say what we have to put on the table for our own development is a new idea of how to serve ourselves. Because prison institutions or correctional institutions are in place to serve individuals and the nation.
Caller, I'm going to leave it there on the water question. We dealt with it last night. I don't think there's... I don't want to turn this into an endless recapitulation of that argument, but thank you for calling. Good morning, and welcome to Tell Me About It. Hello? Hello?
Yes?
Good morning, and thank you for calling.
Yes?
Good morning, sir.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Plunge right in.
I'm on air?
Yes, you are.
Yes. I disagree with your guest about talking about this slavery thing. We got independence in 1962. At that time, we didn't have as much violence as the present time. So I don't think we should relate the violence now with slavery. What we more should be thinking about is the social behavior in certain communities, trying to improve them. One of your guests was saying before, one of the callers before was saying that we should be looking at preventative measure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not just rehabilitation, but preventative method. Such as you were saying, in some communities, people are having so many children, they can't care for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you were saying that maybe we need a restriction like China. I think so too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that can help the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And other preventative measures.
But birth control surely isn't the only one, right?
Well, no. You can, social event, some kind of social event and social program to prevent people, start letting people acting civilized, because we have a lot of uncivilized behavior in most communities now. You can't talk to somebody, they approach you with violence. You step on somebody's foot, it might cause your death or something.
Speak to the point that violence in Kingston is unquestionably a much graver crisis than it was 40 years ago, the start of independence.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And we need to move away from that.
Yeah, Desmond, what's your take on that?
Caller, I do appreciate your concern with the idea that since 1962 we have been independent and we should be behaving better. But the behavior is kind of saying we haven't really gotten the stuff in place to behave better. So we have to go start, where is the root of this fruit of violence that we are having? We're reaping the fruits. So the root is certainly still there. So without trying to, and Carl, I'm not trying to find an excuse. I'm just saying if you have the fruit coming out, it means the root is there still. And the root is self-rejection, is what is causing this culture of violence that we are experiencing. And we have to take responsibility for it and say, look, we have wonderful selves that we are trying to beat down on. Let us begin to accept that, yes, we can take responsibility for who we are and move it, not running away from, but saying we can't continue with how we are treating ourselves. Let's do it differently.
Desmond Green, let's engage another caller. Welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Hello, good night.
Good morning.
Good night, sir.
Good morning. I'd like to talk to the panelists.
Yes, yeah, you're talking to Desmond Green right now.
Yeah, I would like to talk to the man who had talked about rehabilitation institution.
That's Desmond Green. He's right here listening.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Go right ahead. Are you there?
Yeah. What I'm saying is I agree with the rehabilitation of inmate. I wouldn't mind each inmate when I have institution them get rehabilitated.
Yes, thank you,
but
sir.
The thing is about it again. You rehabilitate an inmate, and when him finish his sentence and him come back out the street, he don't have any farmer work to come on to.
Mm-hmm.
And them think the high glands them say I'm going to give, they will give work to our glands. The thing where I'm learning an institution and where I'm grasping an institution that's enough to come back a road, come deal with.
Mm-hmm.
He go out a road and him not have no employment or anything. And the thing is, him go down there and him go can't get a bread to eat. So,
mm-hmm.
might be to go lead back right back to go back out there, go do what he do from first reaching an institution.
Absolutely, caller. Absolutely. And that's why we say the rehabilitation needs to be a societal rehabilitation. The whole society needs to be rehabilitated in terms of how we look at ones and one another, which means that is the reason why the institutions have to be about rehabilitation, so that we can give the society confidence in what we're doing. So that we find work for ones and ones when they come out. And we create opportunities for them when they come out. Because you're right, 100% right. Man have to eat bread. Man have to send him children to school. Man have to deal with the reality of living daily. So we, as part of our national rehabilitation, we have to become now willing to employ those who have passed through the institutions. We have to now put in the resources in place so that those who run the institutions can carry out the rehabilitation process, so that we can give certificates to the people who come through these institutions. Literally, we're saying the institutions should be nothing other than further education institutions, adult education institutions, and that they should be given the support when they come out, with the opportunity, not support, but the opportunity to whatever their craft is, whatever their skill is, to fulfill themselves in that way.
Can I just ask you a question, Desmond, speaking for myself, having been here 10 days, and I hope it's not asking too much, but in terms of rehabilitation of a national identity, a thing that's striking to a newcomer to Jamaica is how much of the old identity and the old problems with it are still here. All the divisions of class, of color, of caste, the rather enormous divisions between New Kingston and downtown, the fact, the enormous disproportion of privilege in society seems almost more plantation-like than the old plantation. How long will it take Jamaica, and what needs to be done to get it past what everybody says is still a kind of plantation model of life on this island?
I think if I go back to the rehabilitation issue, when Commissioner Prescott came into the prison system, as it was then, a prison system, and said, I want my clients to be treated as human beings, that was a shock to the system. Because when we put our men behind bars, we didn't care about them. What happened to them behind there was up to them. And so, literally, it was a shock to the system to have somebody in there behind the wall saying, these are human beings. Let's begin here. And I think that has been a shock to the society as well. But it's a beneficial shock, because we see men coming in and coming back out and openly saying, we made mistakes, we don't want to repeat those mistakes. And as many of them who have really bought on and logged on to the idea that they have to take responsibility for their lives, it's as many of them who are making a positive contribution to this change of this culture and this consciousness. Because as you're rightly pointing out, Chris, in the slavery culture, the human being who was considered a slave was not considered as human. It was property. Right now, in many of our work situations, workers are treated as property. Because the culture has been allowed to continue.
It's caller time. Good morning, and thank you for joining us on Tell Me About It.
Yes, I'd like to.
Welcome.
Yes, welcome. I'd like to address the issue that I heard the pastor talk about when Colonel Prescott came into the system, where he said that it was a shockwave.
Okay.
When he said that they were that the people were inmates.
He said he calls them clients. Go ahead.
Because Colonel Prescott inherited a program that was in progress already, and this program started way in 1974 under Tom Surridge. It moves on from Tom Surridge to Dudley Allen, ran from Dudley Allen to Gutsmore, and to Mr. Jarrett.
Okay, so, we're not going to refight the water issue, okay?
No, I'm not a water, and I'm not talking about water issue. I'm saying that before Mr. Prescott had introduced rehabilitation program,
yes.
It was under that same rehabilitation program when commissioners realized that they were human beings.
Yes.
Okay.
It was under that program when inmates like Maloney Garden, Dennis Barton, and others escaped from the prison oval under the same rehabilitation program.
Yes.
And they were trying to make them believe that they are human, they are somebody. What the pastor need to say.
Okay, let's give him a chance. Thank you for the call.
Yes, caller. I agree with you in many instances there, because I was part of the team with Dr. Dudley Cawley, who came on board with Mr. Allen, and Mr. Jarrett and I were in the same orientation classes. So you're right on that. But what we're saying now is that Commissioner Prescott highlighted it. He literally committed the nation, you, myself, and everybody, to begin to take another look at how we value ourselves and one another.
Caller, thank you. And to a new one, welcome.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Is this Mr. Green?
Yes, my dear. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. This is Donna.
Hi, Donna.
Donna Fay is supposed to sound familiar with this name, right?
Yes, of course. Hi, Donna.
I'm happy to be.
Yes.
Donna, did you want to make a point?
I'm putting on a show, and I request for the Noble and Divine Races.
Okay. Yes, from Montego Bay.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I hope they'll be able to come, Donna.
They are able to come.
I hope they are. I hope they'll be able to come.
People are looking out for them because the post has put up and everything.
Wonderful.
Donna, thank you. Thank you. To a new caller, welcome to Tell Me About It.
Yes, Tell Me About It. A pleasant morning and goodness in all of the expressions.
Amen, and thank you.
Welcome forward. Digressing, two-part. One, I'd like to relate in about what I've been hearing so far and just make a short expression so, you know, I can listen to what is first. First and foremost, we are determining where we are in regard to slavery, prison, caste system, plantocracy, and menticide.
Yes.
On the second level, we have the institutional inequity that we see functioning. Mm-hmm. One, through the democratic process that not only allows us to be imbalanced, but does not conducify goodness and leaves us in a feeling of being fodders on a people's level and powerless. On the next level, we arrive at the solutionary element, which is tradition, which is the closest thing we can go to get solution. Mm-hmm. One is because we are inextricably linked to those elements, and like the human body, to rebuild is not only the organs, but we have to deal with the glands. Mm-hmm. The element of our memory, which is a spiritual glandularization, if I may use that term,
yes.
You know, leaves us into a level where because of those elements, it immediately replaces all of those elements of ineptness and inability of the organs, which are the main elements in society to function.
You should have your own talk show, my caller. You sound like the head of the class in Desmond, in the school of Desmond Green.
All right, so one last statement, and then I'll come off. Because what you're saying is an accolade, and, you know, give thanks. But I'd like to return it to the audience. Because in society, we cannot say those who leave prison should wait for them to recommit crimes. We should, at the same time, teach them skills, trade, round table talk, a talk identity process. We must begin to free them inside of their imprisonment on a 360 process, in a humanistic process.
Absolutely.
And allow that absentee landlord reeking of their inner self to be replaced. Again, culture is the key.
Yes.
And the element of such is that which I advocate. I leave you, and I will listen.
You advocate it well, and thank you.
Bless.
Thank you. Welcome to all the callers, and a new one here. Good morning, and thanks for calling. Tell me about it. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Morning.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Good night.
Good night, sir.
Yeah. I want to speak to Mr. Green.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you're speaking to him.
Yeah, Mr. Green.
Yes, sir.
I want to find out. I want to find out if you think the society wants a change.
Yes, Carl, I think deep within the spiritual nature of every man, there is the impetus to bring out the best in us.
Why would you learn the past so much?
Because that's what is our foundation,
you know, a simple solution. I see a simple solution to this thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, man, you see the parents, them.
Okay.
Parents, the mother and the father, they are to hold responsible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the security for us alone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about that?
I agree with you.
Yeah,
that we're in it together.
Yes. Yeah. Look here, I live in the ghetto, you know, and I see for myself.
Yes.
The mother and the father afraid that they look up what I pick them.
Yes.
And I'm not joking, may I tell you.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
so,
man.
If they don't attack the problem from the root of it, we're going to have problems till the next million years. Oh, I must tell you, I'm a madman has gone to them. I have my service ticket, they take me to Bellevue and all those things because my ideas are too powerful.
You know, sound mad to me though.
Well, may I tell you, he's a madman to them.
Okay.
You understand?
I hear you.
Me say, well, if we stop beat around the bush,
yes.
Attack the problem from the right at the top. This is the girlfriend and for the boyfriend where I go thief.
Yes.
They must pay a penalty too.
Yeah. Wake up.
Yeah, man, them for pay a penalty. The mother and the father, them where I get the kids them.
Yeah.
With a granny, auntie, anybody who responds to them.
Yeah.
Caller, thank you. I want to move on to a couple more before our night is out. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, morning again.
Welcome
morning,
again.
Yeah, my other question to Mr. Green.
Yes, please. Sir.
Revelation 12, verse 9.
Yes.
It says there was a conflict in heaven,
mm-hmm.
and Satan, the dragon, described as the dragon and the devil,
mm-hmm.
was cast out,
mm-hmm.
and he shall deceive the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about that?
I think the person who wrote Revelation wrote what he saw, but what we're looking at is ourselves, who have to take responsibility for what we do with ourselves. And we are our own revelation, and I think we need to look into ourselves and begin to value ourselves and take responsibility for what we think, what we say, what we do to one another, and live the best life that God could ever invest in living.
Final.
Yes.
You mentioned several times in your reasoning that we have to be careful what we feed to our people.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
What they learn day by day is what is going to determine what they do.
Absolutely.
Okay, so why did God send Satan down here to destroy us, and then he have to send his only son to rehabilitate us?
Well, I must admit that I can't go into the why of it. I just know the how of it. And the how of it is to accept ourselves as God creatures, and then begin to behave the way we are capable of behaving, because we're capable of behaving like our Father, who is God, and He lives within us.
Desmond, this is getting very deep. One more caller. Welcome. Hello?
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Good night.
Good night, caller. Good morning, really.
Good morning. Sorry. Well, greeting in the name of love.
Yes.
Boy, I really listen to this program, and I'm really pleased that someone understands that we are what we make ourselves and how we look at ourselves.
Amen.
And I have been preaching that to my colleagues for the past years and years and years.
I never thought about it the way Desmond said it a moment ago, caller. He said, we are our own revelation.
That is natural. That is natural.
Amen.
There's no supernatural situation about it.
Well, maybe both.
Yeah. And if we begin to treat people in the way that we would like them to treat us.
Yes.
As a person, then we have more love to give. And as it is said, we the people determine many things.
Yes.
And even when I hear about a prison situation, I have a situation whereby I think that they should directly set a program for them to work in the prisons, take care of the kids them outside, and let them start to feel like a sense of purpose.
Absolutely.
You know, more than to have them locked away in such a manner.
Yes.
You know, and if I think that they pay the price of staying behind the bars and the kids are being taken care of, you find that the kids will turn out not to want to be where they are, but to be further than where their fathers were.
Yes.
Caller, you can't say it better than that. Thank you.
I thank you for thanking me.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning.
Desmond, I want to thank you especially for joining us. I didn't know you 10 days ago, and I feel we're old friends now. You say a lot of important things, and you say them in a very gentle way. Thank you for saying them on this program with me. Tomorrow night, we're talking about books about Jamaica, books Jamaicans are getting for Christmas, books that you want to receive for Christmas. We're reading them ourselves as fast as we can. I'm in the middle of a new novel by the man they call the reggae novelist, Colin Channer. A new exotic, erotic love story of Jamaica and its modern music. We'll be talking about dub poetry, storytelling, performance, new poems, the Bearing Witness volume put out of the Observer's arts page. All manner of stories and literature by and about Jamaicans on this program tomorrow night at 12:30. Thank you to June Hines for sharing the space with me, and to everybody here at RJR, and especially the callers who joined the conversation tonight. Thank you, and good morning.
The big one, the four-in-one special, the quad-pack combo advertising
Hello.
Package. Three
Hello.
Radio stations with approximately 50% market share, and a TVJ also with approximately 50% market share. Advertisers, the quad-pack combo advertising package gives you reach and frequency at an affordable rate, too. In other words, you're getting the... In other words, you're getting the... The quad-pack combo...